Like water or air, stories surround us. And like water or air, we consume stories, we're refreshed by them. And like water or air, stories are essential elements of our survival. Storytellers and their audiences from antiquity till today have shared the same goal, the goal to connect. But while the song has remained the same, the tools that connect the storyteller to their audience have evolved at the same breakneck speed as other technological innovations. One day we're connecting through drawings on the walls of a cave, and another through bits and bytes on a screen. Welcome to Steps to Value, a podcast that explores the intersection of people, process, and technology in healthcare as this industry moves towards a value-focused model. I'm your host, Rod P. Housky, and in today's episode, we'll explore the state of health information exchange and the impact that the Consolidated Clinical Document Architecture, or CCDA, has had on the ability to more effectively connect clinicians with their patients' clinical narratives. Our guests will be Dr. Bryn Lewis, Principal Consultant at WebQI, and Lisa Nelson, Principal Consultant for Life Over Time Solutions, LLC. Bryn recently was named first place winner of ONC's and HL7's CCDA Rendering Tool Challenge. Lisa is a longtime volunteer for HIMSS Health Story Project, and their stories and more are coming up. I'm here with Dr. Bryn Lewis and Lisa Nelson. Bryn, who joins us today from Melbourne, recently was the first place winner of HL7's CCDA Rendering Tool Challenge. And we're here to talk to both Bryn and Lisa, who joins us from her location in Rhode Island. She's also a longtime volunteer for HIMSS Health Story Project. They're here to discuss the state of health information exchange and consolidated clinical document architecture, which is the acronym we'll be using throughout this conversation, CCDA. Bryn and Lisa, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rod.
Well, Lisa, let's start with you. Could you give us an overview of the CCDA for our listeners that are new to the topic? What's it all about?
Sure. Consolidated CDA is a standard that gives implementers guidance on how to use the HL7 Clinical Document Architecture Standard to generate specific kinds of documents that are typically needed in the flow of care. So Consolidated CDA takes a variety of different templates that were designed over the years between 2007 and 2011 and puts them together in the very best package that we could develop to generate 12 different, or provide the recipe for 12 different types of documents. And this implementation guide has been referenced by meaningful use regulations so that implementers know that they can be sharing these kinds of documents and be meeting the certification requirements that they need to for meaningful use.
And how does the CCDA impact health information exchange?
Well, as a standard, being able to exchange clinical documents adds a whole level of richness to the information that can be shared over what previously was possible with, for example, V2 messages. So a CDA clinical document can hold more of the patient's story. There's rich narrative text that is accompanied by discrete machine processable data. And that combination together makes it very expressive for sharing information with humans and at the same time very powerful for sharing data that can be machine processed.
Does it get us closer to, you know, that holy grail of what we used to call and refer to all the time as semantic interoperability?
It sure does, because the semantic interoperability is achievable through those discrete entries, but at the same time, we don't lose touch with the human processing that needs to happen and the benefits to care of being able to share rich, human-readable information. And so I think it's even one step better than that holy grail, because it includes the story elements and that story context that goes along with that semantically interoperable data.
Well, Bryn, let's turn to you, and thank you for that, Lisa. Bryn, what are the current pain points that you see for clinicians regarding usability and interoperability of CDA documents?
Yeah, well, because the scope of what a CDA is trying to achieve is quite large, it's trying to include narrative text and it's trying to include specific data and describe that in a way that two machines can interpret. It's got a lot of detail and it's got a lot of complexity is inherent in the document. This causes problems for at various levels. The particular one that the challenge that the HL7 challenge was trying to address was around the sheer volume of what can be in a CDA and the ability of users to try and find the piece of information that they're looking for within the document. So a document may explain a whole admission or a whole set of information on discharge, and a particular clinician will have an interest in the overview, perhaps, and they may have an interest in particular sections of the document, but they may not have an interest in all of the sections. So the challenge was to create a viewer that allowed users to get to the piece of information that they're interested in and not to have to spend a lot of time wading through the information that they're not interested in. So not being a clinician, I don't want to presume too much, but that was the message that was coming from the community, from clinicians' point of view, as to that sort of usability issue.
And how does the tool that you designed address that?
So what the tool does, it uses standard web technologies. It uses interface mechanisms, hopefully, that users will find intuitive, and the ability to organize the sections of the document in the way that they wish. They can just push them around by dragging and dropping sections to where they want them to go. They can decide that certain sections will not be visible to them. So they can say, I never want to see, say, at the allergy section, or I never want to see the history section. Once they've made that selection, if they open another document, the order that they've selected will be retained. The sections that they've said they don't want to see won't be shown. And at the same time, there's an overview table of contents that says all of the sections that are present in the document, so that while they can reorder it and while they can hide sections, they can go back and see what's in the document and show the things that they've hidden. So it's that. And so it's trying to give that ordering and the hiding, showing, and doing it in a way that's very easy for users to work out. You also have to look at things like just the attractiveness of the layout and the fonts used and the colors used. And there's been a little bit of thought put into that as well.
Sounds highly customizable to the needs of the clinician.
Yeah, that was one of the core specifications from the challenge, was make something that users can do what they want with. And they don't have to do too much to say what it is that they want without going into options and screens and so on.
So do you have any pilots or results, any feedback as to the effectiveness of this tool?
Yeah, so the tool won the HL7 challenge, so that was obviously the core piece of feedback. And since then, it's been the demonstration site is available for viewing and can be used, and that gets regular ongoing interest from users, and you can see that people are putting documents in and seeing what it does. The code itself for the initial tool was available on GitHub, and that's downloadable, and it's been downloaded, and I've been getting incidental feedback that it's been integrated with other systems in various usages, and I've also taken the tool a bit further, and with feedback and working with Lisa on developing a standalone application which takes the initial functionality and adds additional features and functionality as well. And that tool has gone through various versions, and it's tracking some sort of level of interest.
Nice. And congratulations on that win, by the way. Lisa, could you give, this is a two-part question for you. Could you give our listeners an overview of the Health Story project that you've been involved in, and how does Bryn's rendering tool fit into the goals of that project?
Sure. The Health Story Project mission has been to help make sure that information exchange standards being developed today permit sharing a patient's health story that's complete and accurate and relevant and pertinent to that patient's care. We've been kind of a balancing force in the industry ever since this amazing zeal for structured data has taken hold. We've been that countervailing force to remind the industry of the importance and the value and the absolute necessity for sharing the narrative story associated with that data. And our aim in getting involved with Brin and looking at the power that his winning ONC rendering tool brought is to demonstrate that this tool could meet not only the needs of clinicians, but the needs of a variety of stakeholders that come to Health Story because all of these stakeholders really care about the patient's story being meaningful and useful across a broad spectrum of uses. And our stakeholder base doesn't include just clinicians. It's patients, it's health information professionals, payers, and researchers and analysts. And all of these stakeholders need to access the data in a variety of different ways and for different purposes. But what we were really interested in doing is demonstrating that this tool could be leveraged to improve data visualization capabilities that benefit this whole broad spectrum of stakeholders and their unique interests, not just the needs of clinicians.
This is really interesting because the patient story is interwoven into so many different sources. And it sounds like we're getting closer and closer to finding out what that whole narrative is and getting it into these systems.
We really are. There's been so much advancement, even within that base standard, consolidated CDA, where we first started talking. The industry has matured in understanding its use of this standard and the interesting balance between the human-readable portions and the machine-processable portions. And it has catapulted our ability to share these stories with the data associated and create a context for really understanding all those little pieces of data in the midst of a story about care that's being delivered or care that has been delivered to a patient over their lifetime or over an episode of care.
Well, do the two of you have time for one more question?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
All right. We ask this question of all of our guests. What is your favorite technological invention and what impact do you think it's had on our culture? And Bryn, we'll start with you.
This is a tricky one on the spot. Probably have to go with digital photo and digital cameras because I can still remember when they first appeared and the change it made to how I went about taking pictures from that, you know, frame your shot very carefully to let's take 100 pictures a day and see which is the best one. The effect is huge on how we've gone about things, but probably hasn't a huge cultural impact, I suppose. But in terms of technology, it's one I still remember.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, you don't have to wonder what's going to come from the film. You can instantly review and dispose of if it doesn't turn out. Well, Lisa,
and there's so many more things that you can do with the image once you've captured it digitally.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can instantly share it,
and you can Snapchat it with bunny ears on there, or in a more medical way, you know, you can measure the stenosis of somebody's artery in their heart because you can make processing tools that can look at the different shades of gray in the picture and determine where there's changes. You know, mammograms, other things that look at radiology type images that are just still and look at bones for imperfections and breaks. All of those extra processing tools become possible when the computers can interact with the data of the image, not just the picture itself.
Yeah, they're giving them to AI systems now, even within medicine, starting to use images at the base of and training algorithms that can then start to do some of those radiological tests much faster. And they're doing it in a way that's much cheaper, and so you can expand the results to a broad base.
Lisa, what about you? What about your favorite technology?
Well, you know, Rod, I went with the automobile. I grew up in Pontiac, Michigan as an auto kid. My dad was with General Motors for 42 years. And I thought about the fundamental problems that the automobile really solved, you know, from moving from a horse and buggy to having automobiles that could travel great distances and didn't need to have their hoof trimmed and, you know, they have their own issues. But it was just, it was such a fundamental problem of how do we move people and goods around, and the automobile really changed that. It also is a technology that changed everything about American life. My dad used to comment about homes that started out with no garage, and then homes began to have one garage, and now they're always built with two garages or more. And families were able to move and live in other places that they never used to live in before. And two parents were able to work and drive and be in different directions. And grocery stores were different because people could drive and get their groceries. It really changed every aspect of how people were living and working and playing and vacationing and everything like that. And I think that the automobile has a lot of rich similarities to the kind of technology that I'm involved with making CDA documents, because it's just going to change everything when the data that we have to share can be transported around in a totally different way. The automobile built a whole industry around that technology, and I think that sharing digital documents will really build a whole industry around this kind of capability. Just like there were so many different makes and models of automobiles, there are many different makes and models of CDA documents, and they serve different purposes, and they're all needed, and they all make a really big difference. And so I picked automobiles because I feel like they were a good similarity to what we have going on with CDA.
Nice tie-in. And we've asked this question of a lot of people, and we've never heard digital photography or the automobile as the answer. So there's a lot of cool things out there that have changed our lives. Thank you for that. Well, Dr. Bryn Lewis is principal consultant at Intelsoft, and Lisa Nelson is principal consultant for Life Over Time Solutions. Thank you both so much for joining us on our podcast today.
Thank you very much.
Concert by HIMSS is a one-of-a-kind testing and certification program designed to help objectively evaluate the connectivity of products and make purchase decisions easier. Learn more at HIMSSinnovationCenter.org/certified. So how does your organization help support effective communication of patients' clinical narratives? Send us your thoughts as a voice memo or an email, and we'll play it on the air or read it at the end of our next episode. You can send your comments to value@hims.org. We'd like to thank our guests, Bryn Lewis and Lisa Nelson, for sharing their perspectives on state of health information exchange and consolidated clinical document architecture. For more information on all discussed by today's guests, please visit this episode's landing page at hims.org/steps-to-value. Steps to Value is a HIMSS North America production. The series is co-produced by Adam Baser. Kelly Lippitt is our story editor and guest relations manager. I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Steps to Value.